Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now experience the taste and the smell of fresh manna. Today, you'll be listening to Moise Retsera, pastor of the Kalamazoo Filipino Company and Kalamazoo Seventh-day Adventist Churches. Now, here's Pastor Mo.
Let's have a word of prayer as we get ready to dive into the Word of God today. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all that you have done. We thank you for the gift of life. We pray, Father, as we study your Word, that we'll never be the same again because Jesus has come into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. There was an elephant farm. How many of you have ever seen an elephant? Now, not an Asian elephant, though they are wonderful, but an African elephant. There's a big difference between their ears. You could tell the difference. They are massive, the African elephants especially. But in this farm, there were these big elephants. But what was interesting about this elephant farm is that they were held captive by a rope tied to just one of their legs. The individual that went to this farm thought this was interesting because here was a mighty beast held by a little rope attached to one of its legs. The elephants wouldn't move or wouldn't try to escape. And he was very intrigued by that, so he asked the owner, and he said, "How come the elephants don't set themselves free?" The owner looked at him and he told them, "Oh, well, when they were really small, we tied them with the same rope. And as they grew, they thought that that rope would always hold them to that peg. Though they grew in size, the rope never changed." And today's sermon is entitled, "The Power of the Will." Go with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to read from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. The Bible says it this way. It says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in who, my friends? In Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with how many spiritual gifts, my friends? Every spiritual gift in the heavenly places in Christ." Verse 4, "Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in what, my friends? In love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." As we read this, sometimes we might think that, wow, there's a lot here to unpack. But one of the main things we want to draw your attention to as we look in the scriptures is that Jesus, from the beginning, has had a great desire. That great desire, go with me to verse 5, is notice what the Bible says, "having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of" what, my friends? "Of his will." Now, there are many people that talk when we talk about predestination. They say that, well, some people are predestined to go to heaven And some people are predestined to go where? But that is not actually what the Bible is teaching here. As a matter of fact, we will see what this will of God is. What is God willing to do? This is very important as we understand the power of the will, because in order to understand the power of the will, we must understand whether the will is truly free, or whether it is God who is forcing our will. I hope you get that. Let's see the will of God. Is God only willing that some people can be free from sin and some people perish in sin? I want to tell you that a lot of Christianity today believes that God wills that some will make it and some won't. Some of you maybe who have been struggling with sin, you might be saying, we all struggle with sin. And sometimes in the despair of it, we might say, well, God really is not willing for me to have victory. Or some people might say, well, this cord that is binding me to this peg will never let me free. But let us understand what the will of God is. In order to understand the will of God, I'll invite you to go with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Praise the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. We want to understand what the will of God is. Remember, we'll come back to our anchor text, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 and verse 5, especially we're going to study today. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Bible says it this way. The Lord is not slack concerning his what, my friends? As some count slackness. But his long-suffering towards us, not willing that what, my friends? Any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In some translations, it might even say to eternal life. According to the Word of God, Jesus wills that everybody should be what? Should be saved. In the heart of God, when He looks at you, He believes that you can be what? You can be saved. Some of you right now, you are dealing with some things that we can't even put words on. That cord that is binding the elephant is binding you too. And you are asking, Lord, can you truly save me from this sin? Jesus today is telling you from the Word of God, yes, I want to save you. Let's make sure that this is scriptural. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 18. Ezekiel chapter 18. And we'll start in verse 30. Ezekiel chapter 18. And verse 30. Today's sermon is a lot like a Bible study. So I just hope that you enjoy going through the scriptures. Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 30. The Bible says it this way. It says, therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, says the Lord God. Repent and turn from all your transgressions, so that iniquity will not be your what? Your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed, and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why should you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Lord God. Therefore, turn and do what? And live. This, for those who believe in predestination towards salvation, is a very hard text. Because they believe, as we talked about, that, well, some of you are going to make it, some of you won't. And you don't have a choice in the matter. Because they believe that once man fell, he had no ability to make a choice for good. They believe that when man fell, that he lost his will to choose God. Now, the Bible is clear that indeed, after the fall of Adam, indeed, we are depraved, aren't we? Our sinful nature has a propensity, meaning we are attracted to evil. You can see it in a little child. I won't talk from my personal experience, but you could tell those little ones, boy, they can get in trouble. You don't have to teach them that. We are naturally selfish. One of the greatest things or words we learn very fast is me and I. It is my way or the highway. It is what I want. It is what I want to do. It is my way. The old man, that nature is really strong. Indeed, we're depraved, but according to the word of God, we're not depraved to the point that we cannot choose life. No matter how bad your situation might be in your life or how strong your propensity towards evil is, according to the word of God, you can turn and you can live. The will of God is for you not to die. The will of God is not for you to lose your life in despair and brokenness. The will of God is that you might have life and life more abundantly. Amen? One of our favorite passages, John 3:16. Let's turn there, John chapter 3 and verse 16. Remember, we're talking about the will of man and the will of God. John chapter 3 and verse 16. In there, the context of that passage, Jesus has been talking to a man by the name of Nicodemus. Nicodemus, you could say, probably was a very good Adventist. He had made sure that he had kept the tradition. He had made sure that he was doing things in front of everybody the right way. It was very important for Nicodemus to appear good. So when he had to go see Jesus, he didn't go in the brightness of the day. When did he decide to go? At night. Because he did not want people to see him talking to a certain man by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, coming from one of the worst towns in Israel, where nothing good came out of, so he went in the night. And when he went in the night, because you could tell that Nicodemus really wanted to do what was right, but public opinion was too much for him. But Jesus was able to see through it all. And he told them these words in John chapter 3 and verse 16. John chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he did what, my friends? That he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believes in him shall not what? Perish, but have everlasting life." I remember one day I was in the Jackson prison. And well, I don't want to ask you that question. I hope none of you have been in the Jackson prison. Unless you were visiting, praise the Lord. But that is a pretty serious prison. It is actually one of the highest rated state prisons for maximum security. They go from 1 to 2, and they skip 3, and then you go to 4, level 4. Level 2 are all of those who, for sexual misbehaviors, they go to level 2. So when you know that it's level 4, it's beyond those people for a state prison. There, they had an Adventist group meeting on Tuesdays, and they would invite their friends to come to this group, and we'll have worship. In order to get into that prison, you had to go through 7 doors. Just so that they remind you that you're going into a place where things are getting serious. I've shared with some of you that experience, and all that they would give you is what looked like an old Motorola phone from the 90s. Do any of you remember how those phones look like? They're not an iPhone, I can guarantee you that. They're these big things. And they give you one of those, and they put it on your belt, and it has a big red button. And they tell you, when they send you where all the inmates are, if something happens to you, all that you have to do is press the button. Now, the thing is that you have never tested whether the button really works. What happens if the battery is out? But they tell you for sure, you know, press this button, and you know, they tell you you cannot wear a certain color because they don't want you to blend in with the inmates. So you have to change the colors that you wear, and you have to put this thing on. You go through 7 doors. You enter through the yard where they're walking. And some of them, sometimes they will even call your name. They say, hey, you preacher boy, or, you know, you just got to walk. And you got to go to where you have to go. And I remember on this time when we were doing services there, I remember seeing a guy who did not look like he had been part of the group for a long time. And we quoted this exact verse, John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whomsoever believes in him shall not do what, my friends? Perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Tears started running down his face. And he said, preacher man. Went from preacher boy to preacher man. Are you telling me that Jesus is willing to give me eternal life? I want to remind you that this person is probably in there for his life. This is maximum security things. And as he heard this verse for the first time in his life, that Jesus will give you eternal life. It was not going to be eternal life in cotton prison. It was going to be eternal life in heaven. Amen? That is the will of God for you. When you think about your life and what you have done, when God looks at you, he says, you're still worthy to be saved. You're still worthy for me to give you the best of who I am. You could tell Pastor hasn't seen you in a long time, so I'm full of stories today. This one is a parable. It's a parable. I just want to remind you of that. But there was a young lady who was born blind. And she did not like herself because she was blind. There was one good thing in her life, and that was her boyfriend. Oh, her boyfriend loved her so much. And she told her boyfriend, she says, if I could only see you, I will marry you. If I could only see you, I will marry you. One day, a person gave her 2 sets of eyes, and she was able to see. But when she looked at her boyfriend, she realized that her boyfriend was blind. And she told him, I cannot marry you, for I don't want to deal with blindness. The young man, brokenhearted, went away and wrote her just 1 sentence. He said, dear, please take care of my eyes. Dear, please take care of my eyes. You see, that is what Jesus has done for you and I. Jesus had eternal life, living in heaven, having everything that he could ever wish for. But when he looked at you, he saw that you were blind, broken, and you needed something to change your life. So he said, I will give my life. I will die on an old rugged cross so that you might see and that you might have the opportunity to have the life that I deserve. and I will take the life that you deserved. But sometimes when we look at Jesus, we say, that's not the life I want. I don't want a sacrifice. I don't want self-denial. I don't want this type of life that Jesus is calling me to. But Jesus is the one that gave you the eyes. You see, if you want to break free from sin, if you and I want to have victory in our lives, we must appreciate the love of Jesus for us. Let's go back to our anchor text in Ephesians. We're almost landing the plane. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 and verse 5. At this juncture in our sermon, we need to ask, how can we have the victory then over our sins? We're going to answer the question, how can we break free from that rope? Actually, let's start in verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in what, my friends? In him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. In what? Love. Now, let me ask you this question. Why are we chosen? More specifically, why are we chosen for eternal life? What is our ticket to heaven? Let's look again at verse 4. Just as he chose us in who? In him. That in him makes the world the difference. The reason why you and I can go to heaven is because of who? Of him. But it's not enough for you to believe in Jesus. We must be in who? In Jesus. Now, what does that mean? Let's put it another way. It's not enough for us to be a Seventh-day Adventist or a Christian. We must have Jesus in us. It is not what I profess, it is what I live. It is not what I say as much as what I do. It is not what I know, it is what I believe. Let's look at this in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Paul said one of the greatest statements, I believe, in the New Testament. Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are where again, my friends? In Christ Jesus. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. I wish we had more time, but in the book of John, you could search it on your own when you go back. John chapter 15. And John in there uses another term for being in Christ. He says, abide in Christ. The question I'd like to ask is, how do we abide in Christ? Jesus tells us, if my words are in you, then you will abide in me. You see, when Jesus comes into our life, he doesn't do some sort of divine possession. Some people believe in that when Jesus comes into your life, he takes complete control of you and you do not make any choices anymore. But no, when Jesus comes into your life, he draws you closer through the Word of God. He enters into your life through what we call a relationship. He shows you the truth. And as you look into his life, the more you see the love of God, the more you want to be like Jesus. But in order to be in Christ, you must give your time. You must give your will. You see, all of us today, we have a will. And we have choices we need to make right now today. But you see, just like the elephant that we talked about that was tied to that peg by a rope, when you have Jesus by your side, you're like that elephant. You have all that strength. You have all that might that He gives to you, all the promises found in the Word of God. But it is your decision to say, enough with this rope. I choose Jesus. I choose Jesus. The Bible tells us, you shall know the truth, and the truth will do what? It will set you free. So many times today we have lost the understanding of the power of the Word of God. How did Jesus create the world? He spoke and it was what? It was. What is this called? The Word of God. And when the Word of God is spoken to your heart, you don't have to feel it. All you have to do is take God at His word. That is what we call faith. And it is your reality already. The rope has been broken. Because Jesus said it is. There was a little butterfly. This is our last story. Now, are butterflies born butterflies? As a matter of fact, when they were born, they were worms. And then they go into this, what I call a cocoon, right? And a transformation takes place in their lives. I call it a cocoon, forgive me. But one day, as this worm decided it was time to become a butterfly, a man was walking by and he saw this formation and he saw this little worm about to be a butterfly trying to break free from his little cocoon to become a butterfly. But he saw that he was struggling so hard. So he says, let me help this little soon-to-be butterfly and let me break the top off so that I could set him free. So there he looked at it and he says, little buddy, let me set you free. So he cut the top. Out came the want-to-be butterfly. But there was a problem. Because he had never struggled, he never learned to fly. Because it's through that struggle of learning to push against that cocoon that blood and oxygen start to flow towards the wings so that it can spread and gain strength. So because that man had opened it up, that little want-to-be butterfly never really became a butterfly. Because it had never learned to struggle. You might be saying at this time, and the reason why I share with you this story is that sometimes when you're trying to overcome sin, there is a struggle. And sometimes that struggle may sound very hard. But you see, if you have faith in Jesus, one day you will be set free. It is like Peter. Jesus had told them, the devil has sought to sift you as wheat. In Ratzara's translation, but when you are free, go and strengthen your brethren. I believe that every saint had a past, you heard that saying, but every sinner has a future. And though you might be a great sinner and things have been rough, the struggle of you going through your experience will be sometimes your greatest testimony of the grace of God in your life and how He set you free. And now you are a butterfly. One day you and I are going to fly. One day Jesus is going to come. And the things that we have faced, the struggles we have encountered, because we decided to surrender our will to God and choose His will over ours, we'll see Jesus face to face when He comes again. Are you today willing to break the rope? If you are, I'll invite you to stand with me and say, Lord Jesus, indeed that rope might be strong, but in your strength, I am like that elephant. And I, if I believe in you, I can overcome through your strength. I want you at this moment, as we're going to pray together, to think about something in your life that what the Bible calls that besetting sin. Our besetting sins might not be the same. It might not be drugs. It might not be drinking. And it might not be womanizing. It might be pride. It might be selfishness. It might be doubt. You know what the rope is. But today, in the name of Jesus, we're going to claim the promise of Jesus that He can set us free. If you want to join me in my prayer, let's pray together. And by faith, we will be free indeed. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, Father, some of us have been struggling for a long time. But Lord, today we claim the promise of your word that you can set us free. But Lord, in order for you to set us free, we must be in Jesus. We do not have the strength in our own power to overcome sin. But when we go to Jesus, and decide to work with Jesus, you, Lord, can set us free. So at this moment, Father, we want to surrender our will to you. And what that really means is that we're willing to choose what you choose. We're willing to say what you say in your word is what we will choose. So, Father, help us to choose you. And set us free from that rope, that indeed we might be free indeed in Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Moise Ratsera, pastor of the Kalamazoo Filipino Company and Kalamazoo Seventh-day Adventist Churches. If you enjoyed his sermon, why not visit him every Saturday at 1601 Nichols Road in Kalamazoo, Michigan at 11 a.m. or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. This has been a Strong Tower Radio production.